Thank you, Lord. The Lord just brought back some oldies but goodies. And so we're going to sing songs about the precious blood of Jesus. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonderful power in the blood of the Lamb. Power, power, wonderful power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's side. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus our King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily in praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Again, power. You know you've been washed in the blood? You know, when you think of blood, blood carries so many things within it. But when John was sharing about the peace of God, that is the blood of Jesus at work. Peace for the mind, healing for the body, strength when you need strength. Thank God for the blood of the Lamb. So we want to make sure that every single day we, just as we take maybe a shower or a bath, that we make sure we are washed in the blood of the Lamb. Not a mystical washing, but being washed in the very strength, wisdom of the Lamb. This is a I'm always amazed at how he develops a message, how he begins to speak to me. And the title of today's message is called Truth's Walk is Straight and Narrow. Truth's, T-R-U-T-H-S, Truth's Walk is Straight and Narrow. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 8. We're going to look at verse 22 and 23 or just one of them. But it says in the Bible that, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Do you know a lot of people don't know they're not free? They don't know they're bound? If you've only been bound, and since every one of us came into this world in a fallen state, they don't know they're bound until they get free. How many of you remember the day you were set free as a person? I know I'm born again, but am I born again again? Because within the initial freedom are many more experiences of greater freedom. It's kind of like when you were raising your children and you gave them limitations. They could only go certain places because you knew they weren't developed enough to have more responsibility. And so freedom can increase over time in that respect. But sometimes God will restrain our freedom for the sake of winning someone into the kingdom of God. So turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Now, when we start with Matthew 7, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but it talks about judge not lest ye not. Judge not that ye be not judged. And so we have to really watch ourselves when we see where somebody else is, because we don't really know what their moccasins are like. We don't really know what they're traveling in. But we're going to start down at verse 12. So you can read the whole chapter later. It says, "Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go therein." This is why, though sometimes people may not fully understand, especially children, why you have restraints on them so that their path is narrow. And some parents, they put little or no restrictions on their children, and they wonder why their children get into so much trouble. Instead of making these restrictions from the beginning, I have found as I've watched people that if they didn't restrain certain things with their children, or maybe even yourself, it's kind of hard to clean up the mess Because once, it's kind of like an animal. If we let this dog do something that we really didn't want him to do, just one time, he'll try to push the envelope from that time on. And then you have to go back and restrain. And so I'm probably a little more diligent and disciplined in that because I raised our kids and I saw those things happen with them, that once somebody thinks they can do something, sometimes it's a little more challenging to get them to slow down. So verse 14, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Can you picture this? Can you picture the gate and a very narrow path which leads unto life, and few there be that find it? Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Now, this is really important. It didn't say you'll know them by their prophecies or their gifts. You'll know them by their fruits. And what is fruit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, temperance. Which means somebody can know something. How many of we know, even children can be brilliant in understanding something, but they get themselves in trouble? How many of you remember maybe going to school and the A student, though brilliant as that A student was, got himself in trouble a lot? And that can be frustrating for a teacher because they know this child has so much potential, but there's something not put in place within the person to handle the gift. So you'll know them by their fruits. Then it says, do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Isn't that good news? When you're walking in the goodness of God and you're following the Holy Spirit, you're never going to be led into something evil. You can actually trust the Holy Spirit's guidance. It says, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. This is really important in this day, because in this day there are tons of prophecies going forth, tons of things people are saying, but really we're being reminded here to look at the fruits of the person. And so if you don't know what the fruits are, go back into Galatians and look at the fruits of the Spirit. It says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now this word new is, when you go back to the first mention, it's like Adam knew Eve, very intimate. So basically what the Lord is saying is, you may have maybe asked Jesus in your heart, but there is no intimate relationship between you and I. And, you know, how the only way you can know if another believer has an intimate relationship with their life is not their gifts. It's not prophecies. It's the fruit of their life, how they live, how they handle what God gives them. And so I guess you can say people are fruit inspectors. At least we should be. I know there are times that we've had the man come into our neighborhood to hang something in our tree. He was a fruit inspector, right? And he was wanting to see, do y'all know what he was wanting to see? If something corrupt, some corrupt bug had gotten to our fruit. And why did he want to know that? He didn't want it spread to other trees. So our tree was susceptible because it was out in public to have that corrupt. And just because we live in a fallen world, we have to remember that there is corruption in the world, and our part is to develop the character of God and the gifts of the Spirit so that we are saved from any deception or corruption. Therefore, whosoever heareth my sayings, these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. The way that you're going to know the true believer in this day, no matter what's going on in this day, is how solid they are, how peaceful they are, how loving they are, not how loud they are, but how peaceful they are, loving and wise with people. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Now, if this went public to every human being in the world, how do you think the good fruit people and the rotten fruit people would respond? Interesting. We have to first and foremost take it into our own heart and let the Holy Spirit examine us. It says, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. A straight person is one that does not deviate. They don't ever deviate from the fruit of the Spirit. They don't let some prophecy detour the fruit of their spirit if it is tainted. And when you're straight, it means you're true, you're direct, and you're honest. And there's some things I think will be interesting in this message that we all have to be honest about in this world that is fallen. The Bible talks about doing things with lowliness of mind. And so lowliness has little to do with our position in relation to others, and everything to do with how we think about ourselves in relation to them. When you walk in a lowliness of mind, you have a good understanding of who you are and who you aren't, what you know you are probably are aware that you're clueless of, because you are not all-knowing. And so we, it should, in a lowliness of minded person, they remain humble and modest. Even if they know they've heard from the Lord, they don't puff their feathers up. They stay humble because they know they don't know everything. They only know in part. So walking worthy of the Lord means you know where you've been deceived. How many of you can honestly say you know you have been deceived in your life at some time? Okay? So that's how you walk worthy, is you know where you have been deceived and repent and are open to be corrected by authority if you were unaware, okay, until you were confronted by somebody. If deception wasn't powerful, all would be saved today. Have you ever thought about that? If deception had no power, there would not be one lost soul in the world. So we need to realize that we are continually to remain on bended knees. Not humiliation, not I'm a nobody, because you can know in part, and that part could save somebody's life. Like, think about our first responders. They may not even know Jesus, and they're saving lives. They know in part. They know in part that it's a good thing to save humanity. But they may not know the part about saving their eternal soul. And so as the Holy Spirit readies us day by day by day to send us into situations to minister to people, we have to have the help of the Holy Spirit to locate where a person is in their own understanding. So deception shows us all our need to know the truth. You know, as all that's been going on in the world, my heart has always been, I want to know the truth. And I know if I'm honest with the Lord and I want to know the truth, He will move heaven and earth to get me the information. The world says, now the world, lost humanity will say, nobody's perfect. How many of you have ever heard that statement? Nobody's perfect. But that's not fully true. We know Jesus is perfect. But the whole truth is that we can be in a perfecting process with the Lord. Because the Bible says that the purpose of the fivefold ministry is to minister to the body of Christ for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. So the Lord can perfect things within us. I used to always say I collect experts. I collect people that have perfected areas of their life that can help me in my life. And that is the smarter way to have friends, is not have everybody like yourself, because then you're the blind leading the blind and you can all go in a ditch. You want to have people from all vast areas of understanding and experience, and let the Lord actually choose our friendships with people. The purpose of the body of Christ is to fit the saints, to be fitted, first of all, to live in this world, but not become of this world, but also to fit them for their own personal service. And a fitting takes preparation. And so since the day has changed, if you notice, the fitting has changed. The way that many in the body of Christ that are in the fivefold ministry, we're recognizing some of the fitting has to be more precise in specific areas so that people can maneuver well in this world. When I was in my years of sewing, I was asked to do bridesmaid gowns for the wedding. And it was a cousin of mine. And there were five specific women that I had to fit. I was going to bring the picture and I forgot to, but the picture says a lot. All five of these girls were shaped completely different. I had one pattern, but every single person, you know, some of the women were more well endowed, some had really skinny waists, some had big hips, some had small hips, some had larger arms around than other. Everything had to be fit to them perfectly. And that is the work of the fivefold ministry, is not to just have a generic group of people. This is why when we're on a message like this, you may get some generic understandings of this needs to happen. But the only way that you will really be fitted for service is to have one-on-one time with Jesus and one-on-one times with the person that's working with you. Because many times we don't have go public the issues that may be going on in somebody's life. And so, as I know, somebody on the call today calls me and will ask me different questions, and they get results because they are specific fittings that they need for specific situations to help them move forward. And so you need to ask the Lord to reveal to you and to your leader, I'm always praying this myself, that he reveals these things, of where you need to be fitted for service. Some people don't even know what their call is. They really don't have a clear understanding. And you know what? I'll tell you, whether you ever say anything to me or not, I'm aware of who they are. I'm aware of who knows in part, who functions more fully than others. And this is something that we need to know ourselves, because ultimately we're responsible. Now, it was interesting, Patty, because as I was studying, I had a vision again of something that happened in the Jordan River when you had a prophecy. Now, I know prophecies, you can catch them, even though they're given to somebody else, you can catch them for yourself. And this specific prophecy has come to me, even in recent times, that was given directly to Patty. And do you remember the prophecy that I'm going to talk about, Patty? Okay. Well, the prophecy was Miriam saw a horse with a fly on its ear, and that God was giving and granting Patty the ability to flick the fly off of the horse without touching the horse. Now, what is a fly? Are they worth much of anything to us? And we can say it's a bug, right? And sometimes you may say, this person is really bugging me. So as I was thinking about it, the Holy Spirit just had me kind of search the matter out. I don't know if you've ever really searched the matter out, Patty, but I like to search a matter out, especially when he brings it to my attention. So the word flick, because that's the word she used, is a light blow or a stroke. And it can be initiated as a light blow with a whip. So it's something quick that happens. Now, I did a little search on bullwhips because she was talking about a horse. So I figured there had to be something that related to animals. And a bullwhip are pastoral tools. Isn't that interesting? They use the word pastoral. What's a pastor? Forget the word pastor, but what is it? It's a shepherd. And don't cowboys go out and shepherd their flocks? And it's traditionally used to control livestock in open country. Now, interesting, because when you look at the bullwhip and you study about the whip, the way it was created and used with cowboys was never, ever, ever to touch the animal. It was created that when they flicked it, just the end of the bullwhip, if you just Google what a bullwhip looks like, it has little tassels. It's created that when they whipped it, it made a snapping sound. And so they would whip it right by the ear of the cows to get their attention to move them. And so the word of God's Spirit is much like a bullwhip. It never was given to us to hurt us. When God convicts us to move into something else and get out of what we're doing, He never condemns us. Condemning us would be like hurting us. But He said His power convicts. So the Word of God is much like a bullwhip to help to stop us from thinking of something and think the way God wants us to think. When somebody is deceived, it's because someone, through the inspiration of the enemy, is deliberately creating false information. Or they're fabricating a story. Have you ever had someone tell you something and they made something very little look like it's something really big? And so people may deliberately do this to deceive people. Satan is the god of this world, and he will use people to create things for the sake of whipping people into fear. It could be a deception of just denying the truth. There's no God. Ever been whipped by that one? There's no God. He doesn't care if I do this. Or exaggerating information. Saying that God will do everything for you. You don't have to do anything. But that's not true either. And sad to say, when I think of Waco, Texas, that's an extreme version of somebody that took the bullwhip and were destroying people's lives. We all need lots of truth to walk with God. And so we need the truth continually coming to us so that we know what to do, when to do it, where to do it. Even like I share the story of Brother Hagin, when all those people went to that service and one little Asian woman who was 2 weeks old in the Lord, on the inside of her, she had made a decision with the Lord that was deep enough that even though she didn't know exactly what the minister was saying that was wrong, she knew the Holy Spirit's presence that said, get out of here. The body of Christ needs to be encouraged that the Holy Spirit that lives in them can help them in every situation in this day. Help them maybe get somebody they can talk to. But you know what? Sometimes we are on our own with the help of the Holy Spirit. We may be in a situation like that woman where every single person that went with her was deceived except her. Why was she not deceived? Because she listened and trusted. The same voice that assured her she was had received Christ is what she went to on the inside. And I don't really think a lot of people think deeply about the presence of God that lives within them. I want you to just be quiet right now on the inside. And I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to listen on the inside. Are you really saved? Do you know you have eternal life? As a counselor, when I worked with people, we had to ask them questions. And it was really interesting because when we worked with people, we would give them the basics. But we also had scriptures for those that just weren't quite affirmed with the initial foundation that was put in them. They needed more substance. Haven't you ever had somebody, maybe think about your children, and some were courageous to get into certain situations, and others you needed to encourage them a little more? Maybe driving. Maybe one was like, woohoo, put me behind the steering wheel. I want to drive. And another one was like, can you like help me? Can we just start here in this little teeny area? Some areas of our life may be full of confidence and other areas may not. And I think with the day that we live in, a lot of people's confidences were flicked by the adversary to frighten them instead of going to the one who knows them and ask him to help them maneuver in this day. Not just, okay, bless God, I'm full of confidence, but how to maneuver with working with other people. The reason my husband and I went and did what we did was I knew that what had happened spooked the horse, so to speak. And I needed to go and get rid of the spook because it was making the person not want to use something that could help them. And so we need lots of truth to walk with God. And I exhort every single one of you to ask the Lord personally, what truth do I need today for me? What truth do I need for my children, my spouse, whosoever God needs you? But first and foremost, we are only going to be able to help people as well as we are living the truth ourselves. The hard truth that we all need to be aware of is that we may be susceptible to deception when we don't understand something fully. When we don't, and there's a lot in this day none of us understand fully. And therefore, we are more dependent on the Holy Spirit, not man, but more dependent on the Holy Spirit than ever before. Without the help of the Holy Spirit, our senses can deceive us. Did you know that? Without the help. The natural man likes to believe what it sees or what it hears or what it tastes, but it can be deceived. There is deception in advertising. It will say there's corn in this product. It will highlight all that it says is so good, but it doesn't tell you all the other stuff that may not be good for you. That doesn't mean I don't eat anything, because everything has some form of corruption. But it does corrupt wisdom. And we all need wisdom to know how the world tricks people by their senses. It's interesting. We can hear a salesperson tell us that they have this great price and it works, but it doesn't necessarily tell them how long it works. Or that it could cost tons of money to repair it if it doesn't work. At times, our sensory perceptual systems come designed to fill in information that isn't actually there. It jumps to all kinds of sorts of conclusions. How about this one? When we were all looking for toilet paper, didn't we jump in? Okay, I got to go to the store. Well, that store doesn't have it. Wait a minute, it always had it. Why? You went into autopilot. Well, then I'm going to go to this store. Well, they didn't have it. Well, I'm going to go to this store. Well, they didn't have it. And then I tell you all that we got ours from Alaska. The most important thing is that I needed to remind myself with the help of the Holy Spirit, God, you provide all my needs. Now, it may not come through sources that I am so used to it coming from, but I trust you. And then what does he do? He puts it on the heart of my daughter's friend that lived in Alaska to send us and ship us a bunch. To me, that is such an interesting reality check of where is our trust. The Holy Spirit in us can stop us when things are wrong, when our natural man may want to just keep going. When I go back to the dream I had, and my sister, when she's been putting together our website, you'll notice she put the picture of me standing on the, well, it's not me, but a woman standing on the bridge that was severely broken. My friends, I was driving on that bridge. I was driving fast on that bridge. And if I would have kept going, what would be my demise? This is what happens when we don't get the whole truth. And I realized when I went down to where the Holy Spirit was leading me, that there were things in my foundation that were not put in correctly. And the Holy Spirit had to secure my foundation. And I believe that's why I got connected initially with prophetic ministries. And to that, I'm very, very eternally grateful. But I had to become aware myself. A lot of times when we're with certain groups that may be off, we can be kind of taken in and not realize we've been taken in. So it was a humbling experience. But you know what? When I go back to how God transitioned me, he never beat me. He just had me searching. Lord, what is it? And it was really somebody giving me a message by somebody that I realized there were pieces and parts that I needed, because the first message I ever listened to from Prophetic Ministries was on the anointing compound. And what does the anointing do? What does the anointing do for us? The anointing is the Holy Spirit in us that leads us, that guides us, that lets us know if the power of God is present in us to be able to use it. Because otherwise what happens in the body of Christ is people get into a ministry and they just copy everybody because they really haven't learned to be led by the anointing, and they haven't really understood what the anointing, the very presence of the Holy Spirit in them, is actually doing. You know, the anointing, the Holy Spirit in you, actually purges you from doing dead things, things that will never get rewarded for by the Lord. So if somebody says, oh, come and join me and do this, but on the Holy Spirit's going, nope, don't become a part of that. It may not be naturally bad what the person's doing, but it may not be what you're supposed to be doing. And that's why when the Holy Spirit told me to name this ministry Leaders After God's Heart, it's because we all have to be following His heart for us and our lives. Without a spirit born again, our natural senses are our primary senses we go by. So if you see people that don't know the Lord doing what they're doing, meaning lost humanity, I don't care if they're in governmental positions or not, if they are not saved and they have not developed that hearing ear and being able to understand when the Holy Spirit is telling them to do something, that's why I believe God says, first of all, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, especially those that are in authority. Why? So we can live a quiet and peaceable life in all honesty, godliness. I was impressed to watch One Night with a King a few days ago. I encourage you to go back and revisit it, because you really see how deep some calls have to go through to really be fruitful, and how sometimes we have to take a step that maybe nobody else wants to take. Nobody else wants to do that, and God says, no, you need to be the first one. When I think of her running in the rain, going against all protocol because the Lord has visited her to bring the truth, and what did she get? She went against every natural law, but what did the king extend to her? Mercy. And everyone around wanted him judgment. God is still giving mercy in this day. But we want to be more on track with the grace of God, the ability to do things. But if we need mercy in this day for anything that we've done that He has made us aware that is out of the way, we just need to repent. Repent means admit it and do whatever He's telling us to do. The next thing about our natural minds is when they're not renewed to the mind of God, they're inherently biased. When our mind is not renewed, it goes back to being biased about however we grew up. And so I've always taken very seriously how I have to renew my mind. How I needed to renew my mind about loving people, even my enemy, which is a tough one for a lot of people. What does it mean, love your enemy? It's not about human love. It's about telling them the truth. It's about following the fruit of the Spirit when you're doing whatever it is, because you don't know, you may be the one that helps to turn them. When our minds are renewed to God's mind in every subject and situation, that we are given the ability, we are helped by the Holy Spirit not to go into situations with doubt or unbelief. And so we want this renewal to take forth every single day. It's not about just reading a Bible scripture. It's about meditating and thinking on, I hear His voice. I hear Your voice, and I follow You. And the next time I hear Your voice, I'm going to follow You. And that's why when I began my walk with God, I wrote down, I'm His sheep and I hear His voice. And every time I sensed it was God, I wrote it down and I obeyed Him. And that helped me develop the hearing ear. And if I made a mistake and realized it wasn't, I went back to the voice and realized, oh, there was like, you know, that on the inside not to do it, and I kind of went past it. This is the only way you're going to know. You can't learn this in a natural school. You cannot learn this that way. You have to learn it homeschooled with the Holy Spirit. And I could even say to one of you, you're off in this area, but unless you allow the Holy Spirit to bear witness whether I'm telling the truth or not, it doesn't benefit. That's why when I listen to my own messages, when I listen to Miriam's messages, or anybody else, when I'm listening for the Holy Spirit to tell me the truth and to help me understand. Also, our ability to learn leaves us open to getting schooled. This is the wonderful thing, is I remember as I was growing in the things of God, that I had learned some things I needed to relearn. First of all, I had to unlearn it by realizing that it wasn't completely accurate, and relearn. And I believe this is why the fivefold ministry is held to a greater accountability than anybody else, is because they're the ones that are depositing these things into people's lives. So sharing information can be very helpful in this day. From delivering somebody from finding out that there's traffic, you know, you can see on your MapQuest there's traffic, you can deliver somebody from being caught in something. You can make somebody aware that rain is coming. I remember when I saw through my radar app that a tornado was coming towards my sister in Oklahoma. She didn't have the app, but thank God to the pilot that told me about the app. And all of a sudden I saw it's coming right towards you. And it was able to help her. Accurate information helps people. Inaccurate confuses, detours, and gets people out of the grace of God. So, love your neighbor as you love yourself. It's really a time of getting to know where we are and what the Lord has need of us. To me, this season is a time of fresh dedication to Him. Maybe you were dedicated to the Lord by your parents. Maybe you weren't. Maybe you asked Jesus in your heart, but maybe you haven't fully given Him lordship of your life, because being saved and having Him as Lord are two different things. Saved means, whew, I don't have to go to hell, and He's forgiven my sins, but lordship is about following every footstep that He has for each and every one of us. And each one is different for each one of us. My quest in life as a believer, and I hope it is yours, has always been to be a part of God's solution, to help people. If there's an area that they need information, I can guide them and direct them. if there's something they don't fully understand, I can show them some sources that they can do. I can guide people, but I can't do their relationship for them. Each person has to come clean before the Lord on their own. And to me, that's a beautiful experience when each one of us come to Jesus on our own. And I have been with so many people that have come to Christ, and every single time that I have led them to Christ, they still did it. I have been so humbled on the inside that I was allowed to be a part of such a holy experience. And I believe God is grooming us to prepare us to bring many into the kingdom of God, or to take people that are in the kingdom of God and help them to grow to another level, help them to have some good resources, help them to have someone that they can ask questions. But anytime you start working with someone like that, make sure you empower them to know that they have the Holy Spirit in them that should bear witness with the truth. Praise God. Last, we were all created originally to seek the truth before the fall. So now our part is to, in this fallen world, is to help people come back to their original state before the Lord. And so today, ask the Lord as you pray, Lord, here am I. Prepare me, equip me for the work. See, I'm very aware of the things that He's putting in me in this day to equip me. And you should be aware as well what He is wanting to put on the inside of you. One of the main things He wants in us is to be at peace. Know He loves us, and the only reason we're still here is to bring others into the kingdom of God. That should bring the joy of the Lord, which is the second fruit of the Spirit. And the peace of God should keep us from going astray. And so if we lose the peace of God inside, that is a big alarm system to let us know something either got in the way of our walk, or we swallowed something that is just not right and we need it corrected. Amen. Praise God.